Let's read in the 14th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Appreciate you being here with us. And I want to say again, I appreciate Brother Clyde being here. Brother Clyde, some of you have not met him. He and his wife are out of Missouri. And he also is a minister that's in the ministry for Christ. And I think he formerly was a policeman for quite a while in the areas of Missouri. But he really seems to love the Lord. Also, we had Tony. I don't see Tony now. Tony was here. Oh, here he is over here. Tony, he's the watchman over there at C-Suite. And glad to have Tony here with us. We stop by every now and then and chat with Tony. He kind of keeps us informed on the weather. And he watches after, helps us to watch after the boats, or the boats over there, not just the boat, but the boats. All right, let's just stand together and read just a little bit of God's Word. Let me say that I wholeheartedly appreciate you. I prayed that God would bring you down safely because I felt that some of you would come down. I'm also praying that God will take you home safely, that nothing will happen. Two things that God tells us to do, and that's the requirement for having security from God. One is watch. I don't know how many of you watch, but you should watch what you do, watch where you go, watch what you say, watch everybody and what they do and what they say. The next thing is to pray. Jesus said to watch and to pray. Some people watch and don't pray. Some people pray and don't watch. Some people don't watch nor pray. So if you want to be saved, you've got to watch and you've got to pray. Truly, this is a great, wonderful moment that we're living in, not just this moment here at East Point, whereas this positively has to do with what Brother Taylor was speaking of. We had spoke about it, some of them, and it very definitely has to do with what he said. Perhaps some of you didn't even catch what he said, but it definitely has to do with that. You know, if we watch, right now, some people are outside looking at the cars, walking around. Some of the boys, children are throwing birds at each other, and nobody's watching them. Nobody's checking them. Nobody's seeing that they're in the house. The grown men out there, let me say this, and they'll probably really get upset with me, but you ought to be ashamed of yourself to be outside walking around when God's having something going on. It's no wonder that you're backslid and don't have nothing for the Lord. I'm sure that they heard that. But anybody that can walk around outside and do nothing when God is speaking, as the Bible said, when we come together, it's not you that speak, but your Heavenly Father that speaketh from within you. And anybody that can do that would have to be in a backslidden condition. Anybody that lets the children just wander around doing nothing has to be in a backslidden condition. Especially when the house of God is, people are gathered in and we're trying to learn something about Jesus. All right, for those that hunger and thirst, Jesus said they'll be filled if they're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. It's sad to say, but we've got some people that are in our own following as well as every other following on the face of the earth that have lost their visions. They have lost their vision. And some of them have been going through a religious thing for many years, and then all of a sudden they've lost their vision. Right when they need it most, they've lost their vision. That's very sad. Their spirits are in bad shape. You know, God is the Father of spirits. God is a spirit, and He is the Father of spirits. And people's spirit has to be right. If your spirit isn't right, your human person means exactly nothing to God, whether you're young or old or middle-aged or what. It means nothing to God. Your human person, your bones, your flesh, your eyes, your hair, it means nothing, absolutely nothing to God. As a matter of fact, the man that brought the revelation of Jesus Christ said, the flesh profiteth nothing. So then your flesh to God is nothing. It's sinful. It is condemned to death. The Lord put it to death at Calvary. He hates the image of it. He said if you didn't kill it out and die to it and get a new image called the image of Jesus Christ, that He would despise your image in the morning as the bastard child. So then your first birth is a bastard in the sight of God, and He despises it. And unless it dies, and unless there's a new Christ that comes forth in your life, in the morning He will despise you. He is angry with you every day. Though people may preach to you that God loves you every day, the Bible teaches that God is angry with you every day until you are born again. For I am angry with the wicked every day. Not only is He angry with you, but the Bible said He will pursue you till you perish from over the face of the earth. He will send forth pestilence, mildew, wars, diseases, heartaches, sorrows, all kind of problems until He destroys your fleshly being because He is angry with you every day. We may turn to medical sources, we may do all kind of things, but the Bible said in that day there will be no healing medicines. As a matter of fact, it speaks of Asa, how that Asa sinned against God, and though he was a very religious man, walked right before God just about all of his days, but he sinned against God. He'd done something displeasing. God smote him in his feet, and the Bible said he sought the physicians rather than God. He died. So then, the world has sinned against God, and instead of repenting and going to God, asking God to lift the sin, that they might receive the blessing of the healing, they continue to sin against God, to run after the things of the flesh and run to doctors to try to get relief. But more and more, it's coming to the place to where the hospitals are filling up and people are still in pain. The insane asylums are filling up and still there's people that are losing their minds by the thousands around the earth. Things are happening. Oppression is driving people mad. God said, I will curse them or smite them with the curse of madness. And they're actually losing their sanity. They're going mad. Even at the campground there in Monroe, there is a sister that's going around prophesying things and saying things. She won't listen. She doesn't listen to the gospel. She doesn't pay any attention to the preaching. She does what she wants to. People are self-will. They do what they want to do. This sister prophesied that we'd be dead by the 24th, I believe it was. But it looks like that she was listening to the wrong voice. Somebody would say, well, I think it was the right voice, but there was no buts about it. If it had been the Spirit of Truth, it had happened exactly the way that it was said. It was the spirit of the devil. But I say, you better look out. I am. I'm watching and praying. It was the spirit of the devil. I saw the same sister because she would not listen. I saw her come to the point to where she committed suicide. She's not listening. She's not paying attention. It's self-exaltation. And it's wanting to draw attention to herself. And it's the flesh. And Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. And she's causing problems going from house to house. Paul said miles that ought to be stopped, subverting whole households that go from house to house, busybodies in other people's matters, whereas they cause a lot of problems. Troublemakers. People who are not anchored in God, they don't have a vision, that's not listening to the pastor, will certainly listen to the next voice, especially if it's a little flattery. If it's a little flattery, there's some that's waiting to jump in anyway and show themselves to be great people, show great concern when the pastor's not there. It's like Brother Branham, he's dead, and there's been so many that's jumped in to show great concern about the message, as they call it, and the great, wonderful things of Brother Branham. Since he's dead, they're so interested in it because they feel like that'll draw all the attention to them, and they'll subvert the following. But nevertheless, God has His people. God has His way. God has His woman. God has His man. I want to read just a little bit in the book of Ezekiel. The Bible said to give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. I want you to listen. When I read, I want you to listen. I want to, rather than reading from the 14th chapter, I'd like to back up just a little farther than that. I may read just a bit here of the scriptures. Okay, let's start with the 12th chapter. I think I'll let you sit down. Can I get a swallow of water, Brother Taylor? I think I'll let you sit down where you can be comfortable. And I want to read to you, and I trust that you'll give me just a few minutes to talk with you. This is so good here in the reading of the Scriptures till it's hard to tell where to start reading from. It's the book of Ezekiel. And there's a lot of wonderful things that Ezekiel saw. Chapter 11, we'll start there instead of 12. We'll just back up one more chapter. Chapter 11, "Moreover, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me unto the east gate of the Lord's house, which looketh eastward. And behold, at the door of the gate, 25 men, among whom I saw Jaazaniah, the son of Azar, and Pelatiah, the son of Benaiah, princes of the people. Then said he unto me, Son of man, these are the men that devise mischief and give wicked counsel in this city, which say it is not near, let us build houses. This city is the cauldron, and we be the flesh. Therefore prophesy against them. Prophesy, O son of man. And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, Speak thus saith the Lord. Thus have ye said, O house of Israel. For I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. Ye have multiplied your slain in this city, and ye have filled the streets thereof with the slain. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, your slain whom ye have lain in the midst of it, they are the flesh, and this city is the cauldron. But I will bring you forth out of the midst of it. Ye have feared the sword, and I will bring a sword upon you, saith the Lord God. And I will bring you out of the midst thereof, and deliver you into the hands of strangers, and will execute judgment among you. Ye shall fall by the sword. I will judge you in the border of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. This city shall not be your cauldron, neither shall ye be the flesh in the midst thereof. But I will judge you in the border of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. For ye have not walked in my statutes, neither executed my judgments, but have done after the manner of the heathen that are round about you. And it came to pass, when I prophesied, that Pelatiah, the son of Benaiah, died. Then fell I down upon my face and cried with a loud voice and said, Ah, Lord God, will thou make a full end of the remnant of Israel? Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all the house of Israel holy, are they unto whom the inhabitant of Jerusalem has said, Get ye far from the Lord unto us, is this land given in possession? Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them far among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Wherefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people, and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered. And I will give you the land of Israel, and they shall come thither. And they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. Then did the cherubims lift up their wings and the wheels beside them, and the glory of God of Israel was over them above. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood upon the mountain, which is on the east side of the city. Afterwards the Spirit took me up and brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God into Chaldea, to them of the captivity. So the vision that I had seen went up from me. Then I spake unto them of the captivity, all the things that the Lord had showed me. The word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not, they have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Therefore, thou son of man, prepare thee stuff for removing, and remove by day in their sight. And thou shalt remove from thy place to another place in their sight. It may be they will consider, though they be a rebellious house. Then shalt thou bring forth thy stuff by day in their sight, a stuff by removing. And thou shalt go forth at evening in their sight as they that go forth into captivity. Dig thou through the wall in their sight, and carry out thereby. In their sight shalt thou bear it upon thy shoulders, and carry it forth in the twilight. Thou shalt cover thy face, that thou see not the ground, for I have set thee for a sign unto the house of Israel. Where is the daubing wherewith ye have daubed it? Therefore thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury. And there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. So will I break down the wall that ye have daubed with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundations thereof shall be discovered. And it shall fall, and ye shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall, and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they that daubed it. To wit, the prophets of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy against them, and say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillars to all armholes, and make kerchiefs upon the head of every statue to hunt souls. Will ye hunt the souls of my people, and will ye save the souls alive that come unto ye? And will ye pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley, and for pieces of bread to slay the souls that should not die, and to save the soul alive that should not live, by your lying to my people that hear your lies? Wherefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against your pillars wherewith ye there hunt the souls to make them fly, and I will tear them from your arms, and will let the souls go, even the souls that ye hunt to make them fly. Your kerchief also will I tear, and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall be no more in your hand to be hunted, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Because with lies ye have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. Therefore ye shall see no more of vanity nor divine divinations, for I will deliver my people out of your hands, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. He goes on to say in the 14th verse, or the 13th verse, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should not deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. Now, that's reading in the 11th chapter, and skipping on over to the 13th, on over to the 14th, just skipping across, reading a little of the scripture. Now, there's a number of things that's outstanding here. One thing is the Lord said that he was against the prophet that divined lies or saw lying vanities. He said, I'm against that prophet. He describes that prophet as being a prophet that prophesies from his own spirit. He describes that prophet as seeing vanity, saying to the people that everything is going to be all right when everything is not going to be all right. He said, and these preachers or these prophets, they go to and fro through the land and they preach. They say to the people, you don't have to worry. God loves you. God's for you. God's with you. Go right on. God's going to save you. He said, I am against these preachers and against these prophets. He said, for I am not with them. I am not for them. I am not going to save them. I despise their image because of the lack of the new birth. I will despise their image in the morning. I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. Their wicked is like the troubled waters that's ever casting their might up upon the bank. There is no peace to the wicked, he said. I am angry with the wicked every day. I do not love the wicked, as preachers tell them. I am not for the wicked, as preachers tell them. I will not bless the wicked, as preachers tell them. I am against the wicked. I will pursue them every day of their life until they perish from the face of the earth. I have no love for the wicked. I have no time for the wicked. I am against the wicked. I hate the very thoughts of the wicked being upon my earth, sitting in the shade of my tree, drinking of my water, eating of my food, enjoying my sunshine. I hate the very day of the wicked and them doing that. I am so against it that when I take the righteous out of this world to where they cannot be harmed, when I rapture them away, I am so upset with the wicked that I will actually rain fire and brimstone down out of heaven upon everyone that's upon the face of the earth when I get my people out. I am only allowing the wicked to continue for one reason, and that is I have to let the just suffer with the unjust at this moment. I am letting the wicked continue because I have the just among them. And the just, being the salt of the earth, preserves the wicked. The just suffering for the unjust. I let the church go through all of the heartaches and the sorrows. And I let the church be chastened by me, God. I let the church be chastened every day that I might not punish the wicked. But there will come a time, God said, when all of these preachers that set lights by the living dead shall be punished. And the Bible said, woe unto him that setteth a light by the dead, seeing that these are dead while they live, twice dead and plucked up by the roots. In that God said to Adam and Eve, the day that thou eatest thou off of the tree of knowledge and turn to your own understanding, that's the day that you die. God said for a minister to preach the word of light and to set a light of consolation by these people, it's an abomination in my sight. I will destroy both the preacher and the people that are wicked. I will pursue them, for I am angry with the wicked every day. And he said, this kind of a preacher has caused hundreds of thousands and millions of people to go astray. And he said, they compass land and sea preaching this kind of preaching. And they make proselytes out of the people. They called the people to become proselytes. And they make the people to believe that God is in agreement with their wickedness and that God will allow for their wickedness and that the blood of Jesus Christ was spilt that they might continue in their wickedness. They preach that the blood of Jesus was spilt in the behalf of the wicked and they pervert the gospel. And the Lord said, I am against this preacher that preaches everything is all right and divines lies and tells the people that they can continue the way they're going and everything's going to be all right. He said, I am against those preachers. I am against those prophets. He said, because they have prophesied lies and they've seen nothing but a lie and vanity. He said, if they had stood in my counsel, if they had stood before me, he said, they would have caused my people to turn from their sins and turn from their errors. They would have preached a gospel of righteousness. They would have preached a gospel of holiness. They would have preached a gospel of purities that would have caused the people to stop and to think and to consider and to put away their wicked ways and to turn away from the wicked things that had come upon them. They would have caused my people to escape from the snares. But instead, they have gathered the people together by millions to get money, to get fame, to get prestige, to get following, to have a position. He said, I am against those people. Those preachers, those prophets. He says concerning the people, he said, this is my feeling toward the people. He said, my feeling is of this nature, that when a people sins against me, I will send the judgments of God upon them. I will send pestilence upon them. I will send diseases. I will send all of these things to utterly consume them. When these people go aside to their own way and their own doing, their own things in life, he said, I will utterly pursue them till they perish from off of the face of the earth. If the Baptist preacher preaches anything else, I will consume him. If the Methodist preacher preaches anything else, I will consume him. If the Catholic preacher preaches anything else, I will consume him. If the Church of God preacher, the UPC preacher, if the Assemblies of God preacher, if the Christian Science, Church of Christ, whatever the preacher might be, if he preach anything but that my people should turn from their sins, I will consume the people and him. It is my way, God said, to recompense evil upon the head of them that do evil. And if you do wickedly, I will punish you. He said, the entire land shall be smitten with diseases and with pestilence. I will smite you with the botch of Egypt that cannot be healed. I will smite you with the cause of madness. There will be a curse that will come upon you that will be the curse of madness. There won't be enough mental institutions to take care of the patients. I will smite you in such a way that thieves and robbers and murderers will roam your cities, and your wives and children will be ravished and killed and destroyed. I will do this when a people turns away from Christ, when they turn to another way. I will do this, the Lord said. Now, in consideration of this, when I think about America, and I turn and I look at America, God said, I will curse the fruit of the wound. That is, I will cause your children to be in braces. I will cause them to have paralysis. I will let them come forth in all kinds of conditions of blindness and deafness. And the fruit of the wound will be smitten and it will be cursed. They are in a condition of madness. They just babble at the mouth. They talk about things that make no sense at all. You know, people as a whole talk all the time. Have you ever stopped to think about it, that people as a whole talk all the time? They spend their entire life thinking and talking. That's all they do. They think and they talk. But folks, what do we talk about? We talk about eating. We talk about drinking. We talk about buying. We talk about selling. We talk about traveling. We talk about going. We talk about coming. We talk all the time, but we are in a rut and we talk about the same things. Every day of our life, we talk about the same things. We don't talk about anything that has an advantage to it. We don't talk about the world to come and talk about Christ and talk about eternal security and talk about the things that can benefit humanity and benefit us as a people. We don't talk about those things, and yet those things are the needful things in life. What if all of humanity, the billions of people that are in the world, what if they talked about the things of God? What if they talked about the things that build people up, the things that strengthen people, the things that give a real intestinal fortitude toward life, something that would cause them to be healthy? What if on the TVs, every time we turned on the TVs, there would be something that would be virtuous? The Bible said, if anything have any virtue in them, anything that be lovely, anything that be pure, let your thoughts dwell upon those things. Because those things bring happiness. Those things bring the presence of God. Those things bring health. Those things bring the very things that you're spending thousands of dollars to obtain and cannot obtain unto them. You give the doctors and the dentists and the professional men of this world all of your money. You labor to give it to them to try to find a little health and a little peace so that you can go out to make more money to take to the professional men. And yet they do nothing for you. They numb you with a little dope, and a lot of hippies and different ones around the world are beginning to learn that that's what the doctors do. They numb you so far as pain and so far as the thoughts. They numb you by giving you some dose of some kind of dope. The hippies are learning it's better just to go out and peddle it among themselves. It don't cost quite as much. So they're taking the shots outside. They're getting the dope outside. They're bypassing the medical world. A lot of people are looking at them and seeing a bunch of hippies and a bunch of dope addicts. But as someone said, it was those that we call dope addicts that got it from our medicine shelf. And that's how they got started, with mommy and daddy
and those that went to the doctors and got it and piled it on the shelves, and the youth not knowing what to do, then they couldn't do like mommy and daddy, so they just went and got it off of the shelves and took it to the satisfaction of their own feelings, whether it be much or little. So then, if we would talk about the right things, do the right things, then, as the Bible said, our children's teeth wouldn't be on edges. But the Bible said that the parents have eaten sour grapes. Therefore, their children's teeth are on edges. You see, when God looks at it, He wonders why that we talk all the time and don't say anything. Why do we think all the thing and never think anything? Our thoughts are so foolish, and our thoughts are such a routine, until God feels like we're not thinking anything and not saying anything. And He said they altogether have become unprofitable. Even the religious walk of life today, all they talk about is football games and basketball games and playing pool and pool tables and ping pong tables and everything that's worldly. They have incorporated it in the religious moves and in the churches. And today they wonder why that the children are not interested in church and why they're so interested in the things of the world. Why go to church to play football? I used to play football outside the church. We didn't have to go to church to play football. Why go to church to play basketball or baseball? I used to do that outside of the church. Why go there to do that? You know what it is? The church doesn't have God. The church doesn't have anything. The church knows that the youth has gone after the world, and the church doesn't have anything to draw them because they're not seeking God. So then they feel like that what they've got to do is go get the things of the world and bring it into the church, and then they'll draw the world into the church, and that's exactly what they've done. I'm going to say something that's going to rock a few of you. Some of you are acquainted with it, some of you are not. But though you don't believe this, and I know you don't believe it, and I know that I get a repercussion wherever I would say it, to whomsoever I would say it, I would get a repercussion immediately. But it is a true fact that sports is the number one thing that makes up the Antichrist kingdom. Now you can search it out. If I had time to preach on it, and we've got tapes where we have ministered on it. But it is a profound fact that the three things that constituted the beast that John saw come up out of the waters, there was three things, and out of the three things, one of them was sports. Check it out and see if I'm telling you right. That is one of the number one things that all of the world can get together on. The world can't get together on hardly anything. But when it comes to sports, Russia, they'll move away, as we say, the Iron Curtain or whatever, and say, come on in, we'll play our ball games and fight when we get through. But they will get together, and the reason for that is because Antichrist's kingdom allows for that. And so in the Antichrist kingdom, it will be a universal order. Sports will be a universal order. Therefore, in the universal government, sports being the number one thing, then they make allowance for it already, and the people can come together in that. See, that's a trick of Antichrist. That's a trick of Satan. If the devil suppresses you over here, and he says you can't do that, and he tries to make a spectacle out of you because you do that, and then he opens up this and says you can do this, then you'll run from that to this because it's the easy way out. He tried to do that in the early church. He took Peter, James, and John, and he took the other people, and he suppressed them and oppressed them in such a way, when it come to praising God and doing the things of God, until they would have grown discouraged had they not had the Spirit of God. It's an old method of the devil. He did it down in Egypt. That very thing. He would suppress them. And he wanted them to stay in the land of garlic and onions. He wanted them to make more brick. He made it comfortable for them. He made everything convenient for them to stay in the land of Egypt and to do his gullible way of life, or his desire to satisfy it, that is. But every time they wanted to go worship God, every time they wanted to go praise God, the devil would rise up and put more pressure on them, saying, you don't have time to do all of that. You know, you got to pay the light bill, and you got to pay on the living room suit, and the phone bill's got to be paid, and you got to have another car, one for Junior and one for the daughter. You've got to have a better car. You've got to have more of this and more of that, more taxes. I understand that they just passed a law that said another 5 cents was to be imposed upon the people when it come to tax on gas. And now they say that in Florida, and whether true or not, I don't know, that Florida is asking for another 8 cents to go along with that, which would be 13 cents. See, that's unreal, folks. That's unbelievable. First of all, taxes is a bunch of foolishness. You might not agree with me, but it's a bunch of foolishness. That's the first thing. When they came to America to set up America, they left the old country because of taxes. And when they tried to impose it upon the people of the New World, you know, according to history, how they got together and burned things up. Burned the ship up. Done away with a lot of things there that they'd brought in that they'd taxed. Trying to keep taxes out of America. But the same old devil with the same old bunch has run over here in America, grown up in America, and now is suppressing the life out of the people. And they're gullible devils and demons that never get enough. God said they're greedy dogs that don't never get enough. He's given them billions of dollars and billions of dollars, and they oppress the life out of the people, but they still don't have enough. The reason they don't have enough, because in the White House and the government and wherever, they keep hiring and hiring. One man hires another man to do his job, and then that man hires another man to do his job while he plays golf, and another man hires another man to do his job, and after a while you got 15 men doing one job, and none of them wants to do the job. So they're all on the payroll, and what do? They have to raise the taxes because somebody's got to pay their salaries. I'm not saying that because I am against righteous, godly government. I believe in good government. Jesus said concerning Caesar and the taxes, he said, render unto Caesar that which belongs unto Caesar. Said, we're strangers and we're pilgrims. Said, I have no objection as to what Caesar's doing. If he suppresses and taxes his own people, that's his kingdom, that's his people. But he said, these are my people, and we are strangers, and we don't belong in this world. And yet he's taxing my people. And the thing that upset God back in the days of Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, God didn't get upset because they had parties with their own people. But when they reached into the house of God and they got God's vessels and they started having parties with God's vessels, God burned the place up and tore the place down. If they had left God's people alone in this world, let God's people have their own schools. Let God's people do their own things. Let God's people go their own way. And let them go do whatever they want to do, if it's ball games or whatever. Stop pressing God's people. Forcing God's people with God's children to have to go into their schools and dress out and be nude and be indoctrinated with ball games and all kind of worldliness. If they'd left off with that, left God's people alone, God would have left them alone. If they'd have took their people and went their way and done their thing, they'd have been all right. If Pharaoh had done what he wanted to do, and it left God's people alone, God would not have turned Egypt into a rubbish pile. But see, the world isn't satisfied in having their people. They're going to force you and I and our children and our loved ones to bow down to their hog pens and to their evil ways of life. They're going to try to make a prodigal out of you and I and cause us to go into the hog pens of the world and partake of the husk of the swine, or the husk that the swine of this world feed upon. Now, I'm not opposed to pigs eating slop. And you can pardon my expression. Pigs are made to eat slop. And I'm not opposed to pigs eating slop. God is not opposed to pigs eating slop because God made pigs to eat slop. But God didn't make men and women to eat slop. God made men and women to walk upright and to eat the right things. And when somebody stands over a man or woman and tries to force them into the hog pen to eat slop, something needs to be done about it.
Amen.
Now, I love righteousness, and I love the things of God. And Jesus died upon Calvary. His love extended to whosoever will. But when he extended that love, it was to people that wanted to look in the right direction when they understood there was a right thing. For people who know about the blood of Jesus, for people that know about Calvary, that still want to go on in the things of this world, that still want to feed with the pigs, God did not spill the blood of Christ for that kind of people. He hates that people. He said they trample the blood of Jesus under their feet and put Christ to an open shame. He said, for this cause I will burn their flesh with fire. He said concerning the great whore, I will cast her into a bed of adultery and I will burn her children with fire. So then, he spoke of a generation, which I believe with all of my heart that this is the generation that we're living in. He said they shall be a sinful generation that will curse mother and father. They will be an adulterous generation that never gets through marrying. They'll marry one time and two times and 10 times. They'll dress in such a way that they're nude or naked or form-fitting clothes, and they'll wander down the street having one another to lust after the opposite sex. That will be an adulterous, sinful generation. I will burn them with fire, God said. They will sit under the TVs and they will watch their TV set with every filth and ungodliness, every lewdness that can be turned into that channel that they're watching. And they'll drink it down like a horse and watch that filth and walk out of their homes and spew over like they're foaming at the mouth, having a fit like a mad dog. It is a truth fact that young girls are actually killing children where they're babysitting. They don't know why they're doing it, but they just said, I saw it done on TV. It is a truth fact that out of Hollywood, Hollywood is a cesspool of iniquity. It's an abyss. Out of Hollywood come the worst filth that's ever been released in the earth. I preached in Hollywood. I preached in California, up and down the coast of California. And Hollywood is rotten to the core. And when that stuff comes out of Hollywood or out of these programs that they get together, it is nothing but slop. Somebody can say amen or shut up. Whatever you say, it won't bother me a bit. I'll just preach up. Now, if there was something good to look at, and there is a few good things that come, I'm glad to say, but if there was something good, something decent, something to build up people, if they would talk about something that was godly, something that was holy, if just once in a while they'd say, did you know there's a God, and he made heaven and earth, and would acknowledge him, but they don't do that. Isn't that right? They talk about the economy. They talk about the taxes. They talk about the world condition. They talk about the weather. They talk about everything, folks, but God. They're worried whether or not they're going to have a biscuit day after tomorrow. They don't know they ain't got enough faith in God to believe that God will take care of them. Though God feeds everything that's in the ocean and in the seas, hundreds and millions and billions of species of all kinds. God feeds everything in the ocean. God feeds all of the fowls of the heaven. God feeds all of the animals of the jungle. God feeds billions of people every day, 3 times a day. And God has kept the world going. He's given plenty of rain, plenty of food, plenty of everything. But we in our little old finite mind get our computerized way of life all mixed up and wonder if God's able to take care of us. It is no wonder that God is upset with humanity. It is no wonder that God looks upon us the way he does. Realizing that he's God and that he's made everything throughout the universe. And we don't even have enough confidence in him to believe that he'll feed us a biscuit. Even those little gulls that fly around the boat out there. Even those big old pelicans that swim around. They're just as proud, you know, swimming around just like everything's going to be all right. And they don't know where to make a dollar. As a matter of fact, they'd probably gobble up the dollar if you throwed it out there. That's what they think about it. But the Lord feeds them and the Lord takes care of them. See, folks, if we could think about the right thing, these people that are sitting here, if I put in your mind the right thoughts, if I tell you the right things, and you sit there as a human being, a lot of intelligent people in here, they sit here and they judge what I say. And they say, now wait a minute, that makes sense. That agrees with the Bible. That agrees with God's way. Why not think like that? Why not talk like that? Why not be like that? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, why worry about what people think? All right, here's why I worry about it. Being a minister, first of all, I have the responsibility of people. See, the doctors doesn't have the responsibility of people only in the sense that God has given him a professional office for a dollar. The president doesn't have the responsibility of the people only in the sense that the people have elected him up there to direct their way of life and they give him a salary. But the minister is elected under leadership without any salary, without anything, because he positively has the responsibility of the president, of the governors, of the sheriff, of the law, of the people, of everybody. They are his responsibility. So I have to say something. That's first of all. Another thing, the reason I'm concerned about your thoughts is because the Holy Scripture tells me that I am to speak the word and I'm to preach the word to every creature throughout the world. And I'm to be instant in season and out of season. I'm to rebuke, exhort with all long suffering, all authority. That if I bless a person, they'll be blessed. If I curse a person, they'll be cursed. Whatever I bind on earth, he'll bind in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth, he'll loose in heaven. Whatever the minister blesses is blessed. Whatever he curses is cursed. So then, again, that's why I'm concerned. Another thing is, the Bible tells me that God will feed you and me and all the people the fruits of our thoughts. Now, are you listening? Your thoughts, that's a mind. It bears fruits. Your mind is your spirit. It's your life. It bears fruits. It can be the forbidden fruits of intellectual wandering in a wilderness in that you can't find your way out of it. It can be a tree of knowledge that will cause you to be appointed unto death because you eat from the tree of knowledge and lean to your own understanding when God commanded you not to do it. Or it can be the mind of Christ. It can be the word of the Lord. You can program your mind and think upon the word and study the word and live in the word and walk in the word and meditate in the word. The Bible said in his laws, day and night you should meditate. That the righteous man meditates in those day and night, that all of his ways are peace, because all of God's programs and paths are peace. The man that thinks upon Jesus shall have perfect peace. So then God tells us that we are to think accordingly. I will feed you the fruits of your thinking. If you think in terms of fear and you go around with the thoughts, I've got cancer, I've got cancer, you're going to die of cancer. You watch and see. You're going to die of cancer if you keep on believing that you've got cancer. Because God is going to feed you the fruits of your thoughts. If you go around thinking, I'm going crazy, I'm losing my mind, I can't hold myself together, after a while it's going to happen to you. Because you are feeding from a tree that is producing fruits. And those thoughts are detrimental to your life and soul. If you think all the time like that, you're going to be like that. If you think you've got heart condition, if you think you've got some kind of affliction, if you think something bad's going to happen to you, if you always have them thoughts, I'm going to lose my automobile, I'm going to lose my wife, I'm going to lose my children, I'm going to lose everything, God will feed you the fruits of your thoughts. What causes you to think like that? It's the devil. What causes you to believe like that? That's thoughts of believing. Well, the devil believes, but he believes in the wrong direction. He's thinking in the wrong direction. He is cut off from God. He knows his doom. How can he think anything else? And every person that he gets into, he savors the things of the flesh. He gets you doing the things that's contrary to God, and you cannot think good thoughts. There's no way that you can think good thoughts when you do evil things. There's no way that you can think good thoughts when you do the things that are wrong. If I take and always put something into a computer, always something into a computer, when it comes out the other side, it's going to be whatever I'm putting in. Everything that I put in will come out. If I put in bad, it's going to come out bad. If I put in good, it's going to come out good. If you put those bad things into your mind, if you do everything contrary to God, then fear, frustration, anxiety, sorrow, heartaches, all of these things is going to come to your mind. All of these thoughts is what you're going to think. And as a consequence of that, you're going to wind up in that kind of condition because that's unbelief. And God calls the heart an evil heart of unbelief that thinks the wrong thoughts. Therefore, when you think the wrong thoughts, then you're going to have the wrong things come to you. But what if we think on anything that's lovely, everything that's pure, everything that's godly, everything that's strengthening, that builds us up? What if we think upon those things? If I think that I'm healthy, then out of that's going to come health. If I think that I'm happy, out of that's going to come happiness. If I think that I'm prosperous, out of that's going to come prosperity. If I think that I'm sound and whole, out of that's going to come a soundness and a whole healthy body. You say, Brother Pike, how can that be? Because the Bible said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And that Word came forth and put on flesh and dwelt among us. That same Word we have in the form of a printed page. The Bible said He sent His Word and healed them. The Word, the same yesterday, today, and forever. To every generation. The Word, God, the Word, in the beginning, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In every generation, He's unaltered, He's unchanged. If faith is mixed with that Word, then that Word becomes the Word of healing, a Word of salvation, a Word of consolation, a Word of deliverance. If I hear the preacher say, Jesus died at Calvary for your sins, if thou canst believe and confess, thou shalt be saved. If that's the Word of the Lord, I hear, I believe, I'm confessing that Christ died for me, that Christ resurrected from the dead, I am saved. If I hear a preacher preach that Christ died at Calvary not only for my salvation, but on the way was bruised for my transgressions, and that the stripes was placed upon His back for my healing, and I believe in that, I'll receive the same benefits out of that that I did out of the former. What I first believed, it brought me salvation. What I then believed, it brought me healing. If I believe in prosperity, I think thoughts of prosperity. If I believe in God's Word, I develop God's mind. If I develop God's mind, it's a mind of confidence. It's a mind of health. It's a mind of happiness. It's a mind of rest. It's a mind of contentment. It's a mind that says all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. If I do the right thing, I'm going to think the right things. The Bible said, commit your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. If you're having trouble with your thoughts, it's because you're not offering any works to God. Try a little fasting. Try a little praying. Try a little of studying of the Word. Try a little bit of helping the sick. Try a little bit of getting a vision of trying to reach around the world and feed the hungry and the needy. Try to get away from the old gang. As long as you stay with the old gang, you're going to guzzle beer and you're going to drink whiskey. You're going to smoke and you're going to chew. You're going to dip and you're going to curse. As long as you stay with the old gang. But get your new family and get away from that family. Get with people that don't do that. You know, if you stay with somebody that talks about football all the time, you're going to get football-minded. If you stay with somebody that's earthly-minded, you're going to be earthly-minded, because evil communication corrupts good manners. But if you get with somebody that talks about heaven, somebody that talks about Jesus, somebody that says hallelujah, somebody that says praise the Lord, somebody that says let's go to church, somebody that says, let's do something for the needy, you're going to get to thinking like that after a while. And the more you think like that, the better you're going to feel. And the better you feel, the more you're going to want to think like that. And it's just a thing that feeds one another. until it grows into a huge tree of life. If you and I as a people can think the right things, turn the TV off, quit putting the garbage in your minds, quit listening to the rock and roll that's on radio, get something that's holy, something that's godly, something that's constructive. Don't go along with the devil's demolition crew that tears down every moral, every good thing, every right thing, that's a critic that's always finding fault. Get away from those people and get with the construction crew. And let's establish the kingdom of God in the earth. And let's build up the things of God in the earth. And let's pray, Father, thy will be done on the earth as in heaven. There are some great things that have taken place, folks. I don't have time to say them over in the evening service. Some of you wouldn't have time to listen if I did take time to say them. But there's one thing about it. There is some things that is taking place right now that is unbelievably tremendous. Over in Jamaica, as we preached, about 600 or 700 people, or ever how many, I don't know. A slew of people. Those people, you think that you're interested and you think that you're listening in this little group of people today? Hundreds of people, and my wife can tell you whether I'm telling the truth or not, Brother Lambert, Summer's with me. Hundreds of people, almost every one of those people sat like they were spellbound and listened. And when I gave altar call, hundreds of people came down to the altar with all sincerity, with all intelligence, with all soberness. Not a bunch of wild heathens, but they came down with great understanding and soberness, concerned about this wonderful thing called world evangelism. And you know what, folks? My wife has commented on this, and so have I and some others. Whereas America has been the country of intelligence, and the far-flung places has been the islands of heathenism, it has completely reversed, and America has become the islands of heathenism, and the foreign places are taking on great intelligence and understanding, being concerned about the things of God. In America, they're cursing and they're snorting and they're losing their morals and they're losing their decency, and they're staying in television from early morning to night, putting their eyes out, wrecking their minds, and to say the least, on TV now, they have the filth of nudeness and everything else that is channeled in to where you're watching. I understand that just across the Apalachicola Bridge at a hotel, a motel right there, they've got it plugged right in. See the filth. See, God is fixing to burn this world. This is the end of the world. God is fixing to burn this world. I know that's true. He's fixing to burn this world. He's fixing to destroy this world. He's calling you and I out of it. Now, I had a vision the other night. And in this vision, I looked and America had gone under a king. I looked and I was at Bethlehem. And I saw over to my left, away from Bethlehem, I saw many things that belonged to Queen Elizabeth. And I thought, why has Queen Elizabeth got control of these things? What is she doing in control of these things? And she came to visit with Jimmy Carter not too long ago, remember? While I was over in Grand Cayman just a few days ago, they informed me that by February of this year, I believe it is, or January of the coming year, February, that she's coming to visit Grand Cayman. First time royalty has been on the island in 300 years, I believe. Now, I looked and I saw Bethlehem beautiful. I saw people writing songs about it. I saw our people, saw the people contented, but I saw it as a place for tourists. I looked and people was going to and fro everywhere. There was no disturbance. Nobody was upset. Nobody was fighting. No turmoil. No nothing. The turbulence, it wasn't there. The oppression, it wasn't there. People were shopping and people was doing things, but people were baffled. They were completely baffled because all of a sudden they had learned that America was under a king, that a king had complete control in America. It was under kingship. And some of you might not remember this, but I said back there about the time of Ford, I said, that ends the president since you'll go under a monarch. And they, as I said, they later learned that Ford's name was actually King. So then, I saw it under a king. The people were baffled. They couldn't do anything.
I knew that I could raise my voice and speak against it, but if I did, my life would be in jeopardy. They say, well, Brother Pike, what do you think about it? I think something is happening. I think something is taking place. I believe that America is broke. I believe she's bankrupted. I believe that people like Rothschild, I said that Rothschild would be the man that would come to the head of the corner. I believe that people like Rothschild is already sitting waiting to take over because they've already gotten money from them. And the Illuminati has worked the thing around to where they've got control. And the government is just a joke. You say, why do you say the government is a joke? Because the people is the government. And the people are not the government anymore. And if the people are not the government, then there is no government. It's a joke. There's just the people that's doing whatever they want to over there, over the people and lording over the people, and the people have nothing to say about it. All right, so then I'm saying that the end of the world is here. God is against the prophets, has been preaching. He's against them. They've lied to the people. They've misled the people. And millions of people are going into hell because of it. They wouldn't listen to the truth, so God sent them strong delusions, caused them to believe a lie, and he said, I'll let them be damned because of it. Now, I've tried to teach you good doctrine. I've tried to tell you the truth. I've tried to tell you you've got to forsake evil. You've got to get away from the things of the world. If you want the blessings of God, you're going to have to think on virtuous things, watch virtuous things, do virtuous things that you might have virtuous thoughts and have faith to bring the Spirit of God down to you. But many of you don't believe it. It's like a vision I had the other night. I looked and saw a pillar of fire. When I saw this pillar of fire, I saw it coming down on some young corn over the field. I was in a vision. And here stood a man, and here stood some people around the man. And in the vision, I had another vision. And this other vision I had was the pillar of fire that came down on this young corn. It was young corn. It was waving about in the field. It came down, but it didn't devour it. And I turned to the brethren, and I said, there's the pillar of fire. Look at it. And they just looked at me, you know, like, well, there goes another one of them kind. And they didn't believe it. And about that time, pardon me, I looked and saw the pillar of fire again. But this time it was long out like this, like a regular pillar would be if it had stood up like this. It was long like this and about so big around. And I said, brethren, I'm telling you the truth. There it is. I said, there it goes down again. And when it went down this time, it went down on some dry corn and it just consumed it. I tell you many things, but you don't believe it. And if you don't believe it, I can't help you. If you do believe it, I can help you. Jesus, the Bible said there was great things that he wanted to do, but he could not do it because they didn't believe. Only when we believe can we be helped of God. We can live in this world. Two can be in the field, one taken and one left. All because one believed. Let me say this to you in closing, folks. Think, the revelation of the Lord Jesus is taking place. A lot of times I'm looking at the revelation of Jesus Christ when I'm just preaching to you the Word and exhorting you over some things. But I'm watching the revelation of Jesus Christ in the move of God, just like the prophets did. Think like this. You, Brother Taylor, myself, in general, people, religious people, we're waiting for the Lord to come up in the heavens, up in the sky. And we're looking for Him to break back the heavens and appear with the nail-scarred hands and say, folks, here I am. I've come to take you home. But I tell you, it isn't going to be like that. You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me there's not a Jesus that's coming in the heavens? And there's no one that's going to hold out the nail-scarred hand and the trumpets are not going to sound and Jesus is not going to appear in the heavens? I certainly am not telling you that because there will be a Jesus to appear in the heaven. There will be trumpets to sound. There will be the nail-scarred hands held out. But it wasn't for you. God will be coming to the Jewish people. That is the time that all of the world shall see Him. For it's coming back for the sinners to see Him. And every eye shall see Him. And all of them shall mourn and cry for the rocks and mountains to fall upon them, to hide them from the face of Him that sitteth upon the throne. And the Jews will mourn and cry and say, where did you get the nail prints? But folks, Christ is returning to you and I now. Christ is secretly coming into the heart now. Christ is stealing the bride out now in the midst of this carnal, intellectual night of darkness. He's stealing like a thief in the night.
And he's taking each spirit out, translating it into the marvelous kingdom of God. For the Bible says that God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. And we, in our outward being, are neglected and despised. And we look like a bunch of foolish people. And we are not showing anything outwardly as to any benefit but being killed all the day long, accounted as sheep for the slaughter, dying, being despised, being rejected for the name of Jesus, hated by the world in that the world loves its own. Here we are, and the Bible said if we don't have a hope beyond this life, we are of all men most miserable. Because we have to deny ourselves of everything. And the world goes after everything that satisfies the flesh. But we do have a hope beyond this world. I'm saying in essence is one thing, that getting into the kingdom of God is a thought process. It is a thinking translation. It is a mind of Christ that translates your spirit into His spirit, or your thoughts into His thoughts, as Paul said, by the transformation of your mind. And three things majorly happens to you. One is conversion. By faith in God, your spirit is translated into the kingdom of God, an invisible thing that nobody sees. As an invisible God, as Paul calls Him, does His work. The second step is a gradual transformating of the mind from Egypt to Canaan. As you are gradually transformated through the preaching and the tutoring of the law or the word that's likened unto Moses. Until you come to a place to where the day star dawns in your heart. That is, until you come to a place to where your eyes of understanding are enlightened, you comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length, and then you acknowledge the kingdom of God that has already been with you all of that time. You begin to see and you begin to understand, and then that means the end of the world. And instantaneously, your bodies are changed into His glorious image. Thessalonians, last trump. But the thing is, before that last trump comes, we have already been translated into the kingdom of God. We are waiting for the redemption or the change of our body. The world doesn't know that because they look on the outward appearance. God sees our heart. Our spirit is sealed. We're already in heaven. You are those that dwell in heaven in your spirit. The Bible said, rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. The rest of them, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for He is among ye. You're not in the body, but you're dead to the body, but the body of Jesus Christ, who died in your stead and was buried and punished for your misdemeanors, delivered for my offenses and raised again as the Christ for my justification, that I might be as a spiritual being, hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoring of the restitution, the millennium. That is the change of all things. I'm going to say this in close. This is why that Nicodemus said to Jesus, can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, Nicodemus, lest a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, if you're not born again, you'll never see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not of this world. It doesn't come by observation. Neither now or in the time to come will it come by observation. It doesn't come that way. It is within you. It is faith. It is a thinking. It is a thought. It is a transformation of the mind, a translation of the spirit. It is something that moves toward an ultimate change of the body and this world in an ultimate change toward a spiritual world. There's coming a spiritual world, folks. I know there'll be 1,000 years, millennium down here, but there's going to be a spiritual world for a spiritual people when all of the natural world is done away with and the natural people completely consumed. We'll tread the ashes of the wicked under our feet. Now, if that is true, then where are you right now? What is your thinking? Now listen, if your interest is in the hamburger shop, going and eating and going out to lunch and going out to dinner, whereas the Bible said in the last days, as in the days of Noah, they'll be eating and drinking.
won't want to stay at home and just be a big time of eating and drinking. Be married and given in marriage, double marriages and whatever. Never satisfied. Given after the passions or to the passions and demons just filling the body. Within my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. One devil and another devil and marrying, remarrying, remarrying. The devils are never satisfied. That's driving you in your passions. In the last days, he said, this would be the signs of the coming of the Son of Man. All flesh would have corrupted its way before God. Wouldn't be nobody saved except those that are saved by the flesh of Jesus. Now, think of it like this. If you are eating and drinking and your interest is in cars and homes and lands, all you want to do is lounge around home, eat, drink, watch television. Eat, drink, watch television. Go, ride, go to the stores, listening at the little tinkling of the music. There in the stores and looking at the little tinklings, all, you know, just going through the junk pile over and over and over and over and over. Just continually going through it. If you are that kind of person, you are not a Christian. You are not born again. You do not have the mind of God. You've got the mind of the world. You love the things of the world. And the Bible said if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father is not there. If you've got to be reading newspapers to keep up with the scores of the ball game, if you've got to be reading magazines and love stories, if you've got to go to books and all kind of things that's worldly, then you are of the world. You love the things of the world. You're hungering and thirsting after the things of the world. If you're looking for career and all of these kind of things, money, position, consolation, comforts and convenience, then you're of the world. You're of the world. But if your mind is on God and your mind is on heaven, and your mind is on self-denial and self-sacrifice, and if you're interested in fasting and praying and putting self down and taking self away from glamour and taking self away from society and putting self in a position to die daily for the cause of Jesus Christ, if you're interested in laboring to give that you might have to give to the cause of Christ, if you're interested in giving your body to the concern of the kingdom of God and the cause of Christ, then you have the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ possesses the members of your body, and you are a Christian, and you will enjoy that eternal city and that eternal life because you already have that eternal life abiding within you. It's not a matter of getting it. It's a matter of already having it or not having it. You're either born again or you're not born again. You're not waiting to get over yonder somewhere. I say this again because of the era of the world and the teachings of the eras of the world. You're not waiting to get over yonder to stand before God that God can say, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, I take you and I don't take you. Or to say, well, I see so much of your good and so much of your bad, so we'll just weigh it out and whichever comes out, that's what we'll do. God doesn't play games. There is none good, no, not none, not any. He doesn't save you by your righteousness. He saves you by the blood of Jesus. If you believe in it, you can be born again. If you don't believe in it, you can't be born again. If you believe in it and call on the name of the Lord, you can be saved. If you don't, you go to hell. It doesn't matter how much good things that you do. Now, so then I said that to say this, that if your mind is worldly, then are you worldly? If your mind is godly, then are you godly? Because that is what it is all about. And your mind is not in your head. My brain is in my head, but my mind is in my heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, it's his spirit, his life, in his heart. God will feed you the fruits of your thinking. If you spend your time going to the dime stores and the ball games and the TV programs and all these things, your mind is going to be programmed to think like that. God's going to reward you the same way them people are going to be rewarded. And they're going to be rewarded with death. Because that's the things of the flesh, and God doesn't like the things of the flesh. But if you turn to the things of God, then you'll be able to despise that garment that's spotted by the flesh, pull them out of the fire, and save that soul, and be a savior unto thee. So then I want you to think it over today. I believe God brought you all the way from Atlanta, Georgia, and the areas of Monroe, or around here, whatever. God brought you here so I could tell you this, so that you could hear this. Not so I could shout, run, jump, holler. Not so I could pray for the sick and whatever. Where's that? We should do that and we do that because people need healing. But God wants to save you from a burning lake of fire. That's the thing that's important to God. Healing you is important to God. He wants you to be healthy. But folks, when you think the right thing and look in the right direction and do the right things, you will be healthy. But if you go the wrong way, you're going to you're going to be unhealthy. If I eat the right things, I'll be physically fit. If I eat the wrong things, I won't be physically fit. Beyond that is the spiritual things. If I eat the right things, if a snake bites me as it did Paul, if I've got enough of the virtue of God in me, it'll kill the venom in my veins. And the Bible said a sound heart is the health of the body, that the life is in the blood. If you've got something strong enough in your blood to kill disease, I don't care what happens to you outwardly, it's not going to kill you. God will take care of you. That is, unless you just bleed to death. And God's able to stop that. God's able to restore the withered arms. He's done it. To pray for you, to see you healthy and well, I love to do that, and I pray for you all the time, and I love to pray for you in the services. Because men see things happen and they become believers because they see things happen. That's what the ministry is all about. But you that already know the ways of God, and you that understand the things of God, and you that say that you are followers of Christ, you need to concentrate on thinking about Jesus, following Jesus, and doing the things of Jesus, and being a lighthouse that you might cause other vessels not to wreck up along the way. So you think over these things that I've said, and remember, if you do the things that you do, when it comes to those things that I enumerated concerning eating and drinking and frolicking, the child is known by his doings. If you do the things that pertain to the things I said, when it comes to the things of the kingdom of God, then the child is known by his doings. Whichever one you do proves that you're either the Christ child or the bastard child, the new birth or born to the flesh. If you're of the flesh, you perish with the world. If you're of God, then you live forever. I want you to stand with me. The little exhortation, the testimonies, the gathering together here over in the evening. I appreciate God making the way in God's little program for us today. I appreciate it. A chance to talk with you and a chance to exhort you. A chance to wake you up and make you stop and think. Are you awake? Jesus said when they awoke, they saw his glory. Now, many spiritual things I could have said to you. I was talking to some of the brethren just about an hour or so ago, just before we come over, about some real deep spiritual things, revelated things that are beautiful and deep, like a man that goes fishing out in the deep water, launching out into the deep to catch the big things. But Jesus said, on the other hand, if you love me, feed my lambs, and lambs need milk. These things I tell you really are things that are for beginners. But folks, if we're going to lay the foundation of repentance over and over and over, what else can we expect? See, he said not to lay the foundation of repentance over and over. Let us go on to perfection. Perfect holiness in the fear of God. Go on to perfection. See, don't just lay the foundation of repentance over and over and over. Don't do that. If you do those things, you're going to die. For to be carnally minded is death. Don't you understand what I'm saying? See, what is carnally minded? Cars, houses, eating, drinking, pretty faces, combing our hair, pretty clothes, pretty shoes, going to the dime stores, listening to the jingle and jangle of vain music, seeing the tinklings, going through, what can you say, the garbage pile. He said, Brother Pike, why do you call it a garbage pile? Aren't you, you tell me, is it not true that everything that's in Sears and Roebuck is nothing but a garbage pile? Somebody would say, well, how do you get that? Because they buy it this year and they throw it in the garbage next year and they go back to get some more this year to throw in the garbage next year. Isn't that right? It's a garbage heap. So then if that is the garbage heap, what does that make you? A garbage man. If you're hauling garbage, what else could you be? So see, we're not garbage men. We don't want the garbage. We are heavenly people made for eternal things. We've got a palace waiting on us. We've got an eternal city that can't be destroyed. We've got eternal things that cannot be taken away from us. We have eternal life, eternal health, eternal joy, eternal happiness. We have a wisdom and an understanding that there is no professors in this world can touch. For we are children of God. We are born of a good understanding. And all that are born of God are of a good understanding. See, what are we going to do, folks? Live out of the dump? or are we going to live out of heaven? The Bible said you cannot eat at the table of devils and eat at the table of God. And he said concerning the religious strife of today, all of my tables are filled with vomit. That is, you're lukewarm and I spewed you out of my mouth. You're neither hot nor cold. You're just a bunch of folks. It's just vomit. I vomited you out. You stand at the door and you won't go in and you won't live right and you won't teach holiness and righteousness and godliness. You're just a religious bunch of parasites and hypocrites, and I'll destroy you and your preacher altogether. Now, somebody would say, well, why do you tell us this, Brother Pike? What else is there to tell? Wasn't this what Jesus told him? Wasn't this what the prophets told him? Wasn't this what Peter and John told him? Wasn't this what Paul told him? The same age-old gospel. You're either born to the flesh or you're born to the Spirit. And he that is born to the flesh, he despises the son that's born to the Spirit, and he persecutes him and oppresses him and tries to keep him from church and keep him from worship and keep him from anything that's godly. And if you're born to the Spirit, then you are contrary to the devil and all of his ways and all of worldliness and everything else. And though you make allowance by grace, you hate the wicked with a perfect hatred, like David said. So then either children of the Spirit or children of the flesh, you've got to be one or the other. Which one are you? If you're Cain, then you can't be Abel. If you're Abel, you can't be Cain. If you're Esau, it's for sure you're not Jacob. And if you're Jacob, then you have a birthright because Esau sold his. Now what are you and who are you? Some people are selling out for a football game, a baseball game, a basketball game. Some people are selling out for education. Some people are selling out for a magazine, a love story. Some people are selling out for TV, some chewing, some dipping, some drinking, some cursing, some snorting. Some filled with passions and lust and different kinds of things in the world. Some want houses and lands and cars. And I say again, does God give you houses, land, and cars? And he does. He blesses you with all of that. He runs it through the filter. If you don't go after the world and follow after it, he said he'd give you everything your heart could wish for. Make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. Feed you with the heritage of Jacob. Make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. Whatever you do will prosper. You'll be like a tree that's planted by the water. And the Bible says that God will give you the desires of your heart, everything that you wish for, and the blessing of the Lord will make you rich and add no sorrow. But if you go after the world and follow after the things of the world instead of seeking the kingdom first, then you'll get the curse. I'm glad you're here today. I was talking to Dale. Dale was telling me that he and Teresa are moving back from the Carolinas back down into the neighborhood of Monroe. Said that he just didn't see anything up there. There was one thing he believed in, and that was this, and he was coming back home. Whereas I've been praying for them that they would do that. I told Jerry we'd pray for them and that the Lord would help them. You know, people get all kind of ideas. They get all kind of ambitions. They go all kind of ways. They've got all kind of thoughts in their head. But folks, listen, this is the absolute, the Word of God. This is the only way. It's what he says. Now, you can quote this Bible. I know people that can quote scripture after scripture. That ain't worth the time you take to do it. But folks, let me tell you, if you get the right thing in your mind and in your heart and you do the right thing and you follow after God, you'll be the right thing. Oh, something great is taking place today. And y'all coming down here today, and the other day when we were over in the islands, the thing that's happening to the boat, my heart is enlarged towards you. I'd love to have about 2 hours just to talk to you about the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revealed thing. They're so wonderful and my heart is overflowing. I lay down on the top of the boat the other day. I just lay down back there. Up there we just got the first bit of plywood on. The sun was shining. And I felt so good and so relieved in having it. I said, I'm just going to lay down for just a few minutes. And I lay down and I hollered at Brother Richard and some of them, you know, and just kind of going on at him, you know, in a cheerful way, being jubilant over what we'd accomplished. And I lay down and I started to get up and something said, don't get up. I said, but I got to get up. Something said, you're going to go to sleep. I said, but I'm not sleepy. I don't want to go to sleep. I was happy over what we'd done. Something said, you'll go to sleep. Lay right there. And I lay there for a few minutes and I undoubtedly went to sleep because in a few minutes I didn't know nothing. And it said, you won't be asleep, but just a little bit. And in just a little bit I woke up. And during that time, I had a vision. I had a dream or a vision. Daniel said, I dreamed and the vision of my head troubled me. I had a vision of the head. And it was unbelievable, all connected with what had taken place. Let me say this. Going over this Apalachicola Bridge, you go to and fro every once in a while. To the right is the Marina Motel. When we come over there to that motel after about 3 days of being on the ship, Brother Atlin and I and some others crawled off the ship and went over to the marina. When we got over to the marina, there I went into a vision, and it was one of the greatest visions I ever had in my life. I had had a great vision on the boat, sitting out on the back while everybody was asleep over in the morning, the mist around me so heavy I couldn't see anywhere. We had to anchor right out in the middle of the water. But I was out there with my rain suit on and a rain cap, sitting in a little old chair back on the back. They had two fish poles out there called bandits. They caught two shark out there. Matter of fact, I caught them while I was sitting there, or as I went out. But I sat there and I saw a vision. Things happened. I looked up into the heavens. I related it to some of you. A great vision. Then when I come and got off the boat, I had this vision where Jesus was walking with me. And I felt something near me. As I felt it near me, I thought, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. But I don't know what it is. Then I became aware of the fact that it was Christ Jesus walking right with me. Every step I took, He took. And as I turned to behold Him, immediately we become one. If you ever turn and look at Him, you'll become one with Him. If you ever see the pearl of great price, you'll sell all you've got. Somebody says, I love the Lord, Brother Pike, and I'm following after Jesus. But that's not true, folks. You say, how can you say that? Because the Bible says, if you ever see the pearl of great price, you'll sell all that you have and purchase that field. And many of you have not sold out. You've got too much reservation of heart, too much plan for your own state of being. But there, as I turned and looked, He went into me just like that. And we became one. And all of a sudden, as we became one, I had power to just speak things into existence or to speak things out of existence. And one would think that is such a great, marvelous thing, but it was a terrifying feeling. I felt a great, terrifying, and awful feeling. I thought, I must watch what I think. I must watch what I speak. And I looked toward the Apalachicola Bridge. And the best I remember in the vision, I thought, if I just speak, that bridge will be no more. Like that. And you know, it's strange, but I thought about that bridge being taken away. And maybe not, but someone tells me that they're taking it away and they're going to make a skyway over that place. But whatever, it was one of the greatest visions that I ever had in my life. But you're God's people. Whatever you think, you have to be careful what you think. If you're really genuinely what I'm talking about, if you're really a daughter of God and you're really a son of God, you're really walking with God, you have to be careful what you think, careful what you say. I'm telling you the truth from my heart. My cup runs over. Hundreds of thousands of dollars, my cup runs over. Going where I want to, from here to Europe, into the islands, South America, wherever, my cup runs over. To have what I want, whether video or plane or boat or whatever, my cup runs over. To stand and even think, the Bible said, it shall come to pass that before you call, I'll hear. And before I even call, somebody will say, don't you want a tab? Don't you want a coke? Wouldn't you like to have a cookie? And I'll just be standing there, you know, and just immediately, when the thought comes to me, somebody will come around the corners or something. The Lord will give you the desire of your heart, the very desire of your heart, and He will hear before you call. Even before you ask for a nice automobile, He'll hear you. And He's already got the program for you and got it planned out. He'll give it to you. Make you rich. Won't add no sorrow. And you know what? The Bible said He'll make your enemies to come bow before you and know that He loved you. He'll make them to be at peace with you. He won't let nobody harm you. All right, now as we come to the close of this service, I appreciate your patience. I appreciate you being here with me. Appreciate you coming down. Jesus said, where I am, there my disciples shall be also. And it's easy to tell who are my disciples and who are not my disciples. Though they may stumble, they may err, they may do wrong, they may not be just as we think they ought to be as individuals, but they'll follow you. Jesus said, they'll follow me. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Many of them came out of Egypt But they looked back into Egypt in their heart, and God was not pleased with them. Now think on it. Many of them come out of Egypt. Many of them comes out of the world. But they keep looking back in the world, wanting the things of the world, going back after the things of the world, thinking of the things of the world. Jesus taught, if any man put his hand to the plow, looking back. Anybody that starts in this way, starts after these things, looking back, is not fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus said, you might have put your hand to the plow, but beloved friend, you didn't have it. You didn't have it. You were unfit all the time. You didn't have it. Because you turned back into Egypt in your heart. You look back into Egypt. You don't have it. But them that love God, you just look straight ahead. God said, don't stand here, Moses. Why do you stand here? Go forward. He could have said, Lord, there's a river out there. They don't have nothing to do with it. What's the river got to do with it? Moses, go forward. I'll take care of the river. You just go forward. Somebody said, but I don't have the money to make the trip. I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. But see, God said, if you're one of them that's got faith, you just put your foot forward. The rest will be taken care of. And if you got faith, you'll put your foot forward. And if you don't put your foot forward, you haven't got faith. Moses, what are you doing standing here? You got to get over the Jordan, Joshua. Okay, let's just bow our heads together for just a moment now. Are you ready to put your foot forward? He said, put your foot in the water. Put your foot in the water. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Put your foot in the water. I feel some people putting their foot in the water right now. I feel that. I feel faith rising in their heart in a great way. They're determined to go over the Jordan. They're determined to conquer that mind of worldliness. They're determined to pull a loose and put their foot in the water. Father, Lord of heaven, in the wonderful name of your lovely child Jesus, Lord, in the name of your darling son Jesus, we lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting, conscience void of offense toward man and God, asking for the forgiveness of our sins. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless my people this evening. Father, may a special blessing come down upon them. May a special thing happen to them as they put their foot in the water. Lord, as they put their foot in the water, may the waters roll back and may the Jordan open up and may they go across Jordan on dry ground. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, I feel the waters opening up. I feel the Jordan separating. Oh, Ramandrama Shandriyata Ramasaya. I feel the Jordan open up, Father. And I feel the people, Father, putting their foot in the water, going across on dry shod, Lord, into the lovely land of Canaan, into that lovely world. Oh, God, I feel the breaking forth of that sonship. Lord, the daughters of the Lord and the sons of God, and I feel the breaking forth. Dear God, I feel it. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, I feel it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want the one just praising God right now, wants the Lord to do something special for him. I want you to step out and step up here. The ones that want to call on the name of the Lord, the ones that's got problems, the ones that need a helping hand, I'd like for you to just step up here, if you will. Just lift your hands and love the Lord as you put your foot in the water. And let's walk on over the Jordan. Let's cross on over the Jordan. Let's get over to the other side. God's got a wonderful world waiting on you. Like the little magazine said, it's time for the kingdom of God. It's time for the kingdom of God. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. It's time for the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is within you. Oh, friend, if you've got the kingdom of God within you, it's time to get over the carnal mind, to conquer the flesh, to change this human body into the wonderful likeness of the glorious Son of God. It's time to perfect holiness in your body, in the fear of God. It's time to be made in His image. Time to come into the full image of the Son of God. It's time right now to get over the carnal mind. The carnal mind is enmity to God. It's time to cross over it. It's time to make a change. It's time that something took place in your life that's never taken place before. Hallelujah. It's time right now to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a reason that God would separate you and bring you down here away from the rest of the people. There's a reason that God has got you here today. There's a reason for crossing over the Jordan, crossing over your human reasoning, and coming over to the other side. There's a reason for us gathering together in this little community center here today. There's a reason for our hands being lifted up and the praises of God coming forth. Today is the day of that great salvation of God. Hallelujah. Father, as we love you and as we praise you, as we lift up holy hands without wrath, God, and without doubting, loving you and praising you, God, giving you glory and honor and praise. Father, we praise your name. We praise you for your Son, Jesus. Praise you for the Word. Praise you for your people. As we lift up our hearts, Father, to love you. God, to give you praise and honor, Father. Knowing that you're for us and knowing that you're with us, we ask you to love us, moved by your Spirit, Jesus, and heal and forgive. Oh, God, and do away with sin, Father, and let a great, wonderful thing take place, God, even this very day. Lord, let our brothers, sisters, let their heart be free. Let their faith go up to God. Let great things take place as this great move of God breaks forth into all the world for a witness. Father, may people abroad, may people everywhere, Father, become spiritually minded. May we forsake the world and all of the things of the world. And may we be that light, that burning light, that they may see the glory of God and the power of God in our lives. Oh God, that they might see this great move of God. And Lord, that they might be part of it. May we move on across the Jordan, Father, this very day. May we leave behind fears and frustration and the wilderness of intellectual doubt and the wilderness, God, of fearful wondering. May we leave the slime pits, God, and may we leave the garlic and onion. Father, may we move into the land of Canaan for that new harvest, that new revelation, that new mind of God, that new outpouring. Father, and though Satan has wore out the saints of God, may they rise up, O God, and may they take the kingdom. May they move in and take the kingdom, O God. May this great thing take place today. Oh, hallelujah. 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 May we praise thy name, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. 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 Lord, we praise thee. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise your name. We worship thee, Father. Hallelujah. We lift up our hands and praises unto thee, God. And we love thee. And we praise thee.
and we give thee glory, God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Ramandrama Shandriya Taramasiah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oramandrama Shandrama Taramasai. Hallelujah. 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 Oramandrama Shandrama Taramandramasai. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise thee. God, we love thee. God, we give thee glory and praise and honor to your name, Jesus, to the name of your Son, Father, to give you glory, to give you praise, to give you honor. Lord, to lift up our voices in praise, to lift up our voices in honor, to give you praise and glory, to praise thee, Lord. Oh, God, to walk into your way, to walk into your life. Father, to walk hand in hand and become one with thee, Father, that you may enter into our bodies, into our minds, into our lives, in our hearts, Father. Lord God, to become one with us and us one with thee. Oh God, that you may bless us with your great blessings and bless us with your great spirit, Father, to lift us up into your great, wonderful name. Have your way, oh God, have your way. Have your way in the name of Jesus. Have your way in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Well, I looked over Jordan and what did I see? Coming to carry me home was a band of angels coming after me. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming to. Coming to carry me home. Sing it with me now. Swing low, oh sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Well, I went down to the Jordan, and what did I see? Coming to carry me home. Saw a band of angels coming after me. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, oh sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming to. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. They're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I ask you to heal this body, Father. Lord God, I rebuke the sickness. I rebuke everything, God, Lord, that could cause infection. Lord, I condemn it by the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, because of His righteousness. The name of Jesus right now. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Father, touch this sister. The name of Jesus, Father, help her. Oh, God, heal her body. Strengthen her, Father. Help her, dear God, to be filled with the blessings of the Lord. God, touch this brother. Lord, in the name of Jesus tonight, may Thy Spirit come down. Lord, may he be touched in a great way tonight. Father, touch Brother John in a great way tonight. Father, anoint him with the wonderful presence of God. Look down from heaven. Bless him right now. Oh, God, may every sickness be moved from the body of my people. Oh, God, tonight, these people that are standing here, may the Spirit of God be upon them. Lord God, I bless them in the name of Jesus. Lord, and I remit their sins in the name of Jesus. And dear, wonderful God, I speak healing to them in the name of Jesus. I bind this on earth, my Father, that you may bind it in heaven, that they may be saved, that their sins may be forgiven, that they may be healed, and God, that they may receive the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fathers, we lift our hands to love you, Father. May this be effective in these bodies, in this spirit, in the soul, this very day, this very night, this very evening, Father. May it be brought to pass. I ask you to grant it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home.